Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Match Ball.
Hello there and welcome to the show. The Match Ball is brought to you by Rock Nation. Whoa! It's not really, is it? It's Levi Solicitors, and you can get 10% off your legal fees if you go through us, which is levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. I'm Dan Moylan, with me, Michael Normanson.
Hello.
Moscow White's here as well. Chapman.
Hello. No first name?
Daniel Chapman. Hammondham 0-0.
It annoying that way.
Very annoying. Why didn't we score? Not fair. We should have been allowed one, I think. One of those ones that hit the post. Should have gone in. Oh, well. It's still not a bad result, is it?
Do we make the goals bigger? Is that the solution? I mean, we had the problem at the end of last season with Costa and Bamford couldn't see because of the floodlights, and I think they've changed all the floodlights around, spending a fortune putting them up behind the west stand, although they're not quite ready yet. They will be soon, and new ones on the east stand. So just shave the goals. We're using a Harry's razor, perhaps. There's another.
This is supposed to be ad-free for the people who are subscribing to us, so let's not go there too far. It was all right, wasn't it? Yeah, we should have won. Bloody loads of chances, but only four of them on target, which I guess doesn't include the ones that hit the woodwork.
Yeah, I always say like a post should count as on target. I'm aware. I can completely see why it doesn't, but it feels very close, doesn't it? It feels close enough to count. It's strange, isn't it? Like, Arsenal are rubbish. I think we're so used to Arsenal being good when we were last in the Premier League that they feel a bit scary. And then you look at the team today, and there's only really the Aubameyang, I'd say, who feels like a proper Arsenal player of old. Like, I don't think any of those Arsenal players are any good. I wouldn't particularly want any of them. I'm not saying that we wouldn't be able to turn them into something good, but not asked. If someone said you can have all of them in your squad for free, I'd be like, well...
Yeah, little flashbacks to the people who were old enough to have seen it. Flashbacks to Thierry Henry ripping us a new one just about every time he faced us with 14 and Aubameyang. But you did kind of get those little minor jitters when he picked up the ball and he'd start ghosting past people. But other than that, I wasn't impressed with them compared to the Arsenal that we've all grown up seeing. They just seem ordinary.
I think that's why I was so sure we'd win. Even the difficulties of having an extra player, I thought there's no way, you know, Gabriel playing in an eye patch is going to be able to withstand our constant attacking for 30, 35 minutes.
We're keeping those 90s references in place throughout, aren't we here? Yeah. Talking about Arsenal of old and eye patches and stuff.
And yet our dreams did not come true.
Well, they were out of reach, weren't they?
All of these references. Yeah, if only, like I say, slightly bigger goals. I don't know if the rules allow it, but it's the only way forward I can see.
Well, we saw the red card change the form and shape of the game to an extent, because we were largely on top and controlling all the possession and doing all the attacking, but the red card then did kind of, it flipped the switch, didn't it, into that shapeless, formless 10 against 11 thing that generally happens when a red card gets given.
And weirdly, they had the better chances at that. I think because we got so used to being camped in their half, when they did break, it felt slightly terrifying. There was obviously the one where Melier pulled off a really good save. And then there was another one where the cross didn't actually get in, but we were all kind of screaming because you could see Aubameyang in the middle and it felt like it was just going to get crossed to him and he'd just nod it in. But I think it was cut out by Cooper or something, possibly, at the near post. But it felt like there was more danger in them somehow when they were down to 10, because we were giving them a bit more space and trying to push up.
Yeah, it's always like that when there's a counter-attack against you. It worries you, but I think Melier's save was so good. I would like to take him back to 2004 and put him in goal instead of Paul Robinson against Thierry Henry. And I reckon we would have come away from Highbury with a 0-0 draw with him just doing that.
Would he have been 4 years old at that point? Mind you, he would have probably still been a good 5 or 6 foot tall, wouldn't he?
I saw a cat dressed as a spider the other day, just apropos of nothing. You said it was a good save. It was a really good save. I really enjoyed that save as well. And it had that quality about it as well of he's not had much to do. He's standing at the back, just kind of watching us camped in there half for most of the game. And there he was crawling along the floor to stop. It was Sacco, wasn't it? It got through. So a game saver in some ways, because it would have been easy to have been caught on the counter and ruined the whole thing.
It's funny, isn't it? If that game had happened last year when we were trying to get promoted and we'd mullered a team and had 24 chances to their 6 and we'd have come away with a 0-0, we'd have been tearing our hair out, wouldn't we? We'd have been upset. We'd have been fractious. We'd have been thinking, is it all going to start to fall apart? We can't beat teams. But it's nice how it feels a bit different this year, because, dare I say it, that was almost enjoyable and we can come away from it and go, that's probably fine.
When it's happening against Arsenal, it does definitely feel better than when it's happening against Swansea. There's just something more comforting about it. And knowing that, I don't even know where we are in the league now. We're 14th or something, probably. We are 14th, exactly. But knowing we're 14th, and if we finish 14th, that is fine. The problem was in the Championship, if we weren't in the top two, it wasn't fine, because the playoffs were essentially a waste of time for us. So there was that enormous pressure on there. Whereas if we're 14th, 12th, 8th, 16th, all of those are kind of all right.
I think our last 0-0 was away to Gary Monk's Sheffield Wednesday, wasn't it? And the performance today was way, way better than that. That was a proper dreary old game. That was Monk ruined it, naturally. So it's a little bit like the Manchester City won or the win over Liverpool as well, in that result aside, we look really good. And it's what it's about at this point. The gaining a point isn't to be sniffed at. It would have been nice, especially after they did themselves down to having just 10 players, if we could have got all 3. And obviously that's true of any game of football. It's better if you win it overall. But picking up points along the way is going to help us stay in the division, and playing like that all the time will be good as well.
Someone like Gianni Alioski is on the opposite team and does that to us and has one of our men sent off. We're going to hate on him, aren't we? We're going to be furious. But as it is for us, we can just chuckle and go, oh, Gianni. Oh, I mean, he is a very headbuttable individual, isn't he? You can understand why he's perhaps irked. I mean, somebody's always going to crack under the relentless onslaught of Alioski, whatever it is that he does. Just being him.
He's got an energy about him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I didn't think he looked like he was doing anything wrong. It seemed like he was not the aggressor in this. He was maybe doing some of his Alioski clicking and popping noises or something that maybe, I guess, does grind on you if someone's trying to mark you for a full, well, it was about 50 minutes? Didn't even last an hour, did he, with Gianni's habits?
I remember, it's funny, I played a school match up front, believe it or not, back in the day, so it would have been about 1995. And I remember playing, I think it was the school, it's the one that's in Rita Sue and Bob 2, the film. Is it Buttershaw?
That's the estate.
Yeah, Buttershaw School. So, you know, without wishing to be judgmental, some rough kids there. And the kid that was marking me at centre-half, from the minute we kicked off, kicked me. Just as we were running, he'd kick my heels, kick me. And he got sent off after 5 minutes. But I imagine that's what Alioski does. Just nibbles, kicks, annoys.
Yeah, they tried to show a replay of saying, well, it looks like this is where the incident started. This was earlier in the game. It's like, really, you probably need to go to before kickoff if they were wandering around. I suppose they're keeping to their own zones now for COVID safety, but there's no question of when it could have started. It could have been any time. Certainly the footage that they showed, even when they went back to the film from earlier, where they're like, well, this is maybe the start of it, it still just looked like Pepe turning on him and having a problem. And Alioski not really doing anything. Alioski throughout the whole thing was just kind of like, well, what's up?
It was low level Alioski, wasn't it? It wasn't like, there's no physical aggression or biting or licking or...
I mean, it made me think before when you were saying, you know, generally people don't smack him. He has lived in Yorkshire for 3 or 4 years, behaving like he does, and nobody's taken a crack at him that I'm aware of, which is pretty good going, because, you know, he'd wind you up if he was in a village pub, wouldn't he?
Wouldn't last long. But think about it, there's very little sort of outward aggression within soft play areas. It's probably fine.
What Pepe did, it's so annoying when one of your players does that, because there's no actual violence in what he's done, is there? Like, that's not hurt at all. It probably hurts more to head a football than it does to have that happen to you. but it's one of those where you can see it coming and you're just annoyed that they've fallen for it, aren't you? Whereas, because as soon as he's done it, he's probably hoping Alyoski will do that thing where they rub heads together, but he's made the contact with the head and he's fallen. And as soon as he's fallen backwards, he probably thinks, I'm gone.
Oh dear.
I'm gone here.
And to look at Alyoski, you can't look at him and say, right, he's somebody that I'm going to square up with and we'll probably end up having a proper toe-to-toe, man-to-man fight for hours. Like, it's not going to be slugging away, punch, 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 punch.
You know, there would have been a squeal. You know there would have been. Yeah,
you'll hit him and he'll go down. And Pepe, it's not just down to the head contact. That's obviously what they've been sent off for in the end. But you see him turn, see him, decide, right, I'm going to go over and I'm going to go and sort him out. And it was mentioned, Martin Tyler, on his commentary, as he's tending to drift through the decades. He did start alluding to the days when you could just, Jack Charlton was notorious for it. Where's the referee? Where's the linesman looking right? Just get him cuffing around the back of the head, sorted out. You can't do that now. There are cameras everywhere. VAR is a thing. So you can't just decide, right, referee's not looking. I know what I'm going to do. I think I'll go over and sort that guy out. Doesn't work out that way. And I don't know what he thought he was going to get. What do you think you're going to get if you're going to go and like...
Well, yeah, you're crediting him with thinking, obviously. He didn't. It was just stupid and impulsive, wasn't it? And you've got to give a red card for it. You can't put your head up against someone. And he did make a butting motion, albeit a very piss-weak one. It wasn't a headbutt that would cause any damage, but he didn't get sent off for that, did he? It's the offence's headbutting. And, you know, it's, you know, whether you knock him slightly back or whether you send him, you know, 6 foot off his feet.
The moral of the story, kids, if you're going to headbutt someone, get your money's worth.
Yeah, you should make it count. And Alyoski has not made a huge deal of it. It's not like he was punched in the stomach and went down holding his head or something like that. Head on his head, down, wait until he's sent off, up, fine, sorted.
And obviously he had to check for the imaginary blood as well. You know, like we've said about it before on the pod, haven't we, where both hands go to the face, and I'm doing it now, so I'm covering my face.
Well, you never
and
know.
And then you just pull them a few inches away and you look, so, oh, there's no blood. I was expecting blood.
You never expect, though, like when their goalkeeper whacked his arm off the post later in the game and turned out that real nasty cut, you didn't think necessarily that was going to lead to blood, and yet there it was. And I think that incident at the end also summed up why I feel we should have beaten Arsenal today, because of the kind of shambles that they actually are. That when the camera was trained on Granit Xhaka shouting at their bench to get a replacement jersey, saying get a jersey, he needs another jersey, what Martin Tyler later called the blood jersey, as if it was like the Turin shroud or something.
That's something that Bergerac should be looking into.
I thought he was indicating his skin. He's got thin skin.
Michael, you've just talked over my Bergerac joke, so
sorry.
But yeah.
You should be as well.
So long for anybody on the bench to listen to one of the senior players, get another goalkeeper top. And then it takes somebody to point that out, and it takes so long for it to happen. Just says Arsenal are just a shambles.
Pat Rice would not have allowed it.
Steve Bould would have instantly got that sorted out. And another reason why. So those are the things that make it kind of frustrating that we didn't get the win against them, but we'll beat them at Highbury.
It would have been nice to make them go play back there.
Go down and play in the middle of all the flats on the communal garden.
When did we last beat Arsenal?
A while ago, probably.
Was it that Viduka game? Probably. It feels like we should have. It would have been a nice one to win, just so we could kind of chalk it off. Be like, yep, beat Arsenal. First time in it 20 years or whatever.
Moral victory, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're here quite relaxed about, you know, a draw with Arsenal. It's fine. I assume when we look at Arsenal fans TV, it's going to be a completely different story about how they're feeling about that game. We'll see which players they want never to play for the club again. Arteta out, got, you know, burn the stadium down, it's rubbish, everything else.
I mean, to be fair, there is a truth in that, not the burning the stadium down bit, the lack of potency. They just don't score. They don't look dangerous, do they? They've got some really good players and they just don't look dangerous going forward.
Could say that about us, though.
We did look fairly dangerous, though, I would say.
Well, you were saying before that they had the better chances in the second half, so make your mind up. This inconsistency is inconscionable.
Their chances came from us just pushing people forward and them counterattacking. We had chances. We hit exactly. Me at the post 3 times.
Ours were better because we had to work harder for them. And Ian Pervada is a little diamond. I wonder how soon it is before we just have to start him, because his crosses tend to be to one of our players, and I feel that's a benefit.
Let's talk about the lineup quickly then, before we get to half time and the changes that we saw in Rafinha coming in. What did you make of him?
First half, I thought it was very good. Didn't get as involved as I'd have probably hoped in the second half. He looks, I think Bielsa probably will like him more than Costa because he seems to influence the game more when he comes in inside. He seems, Costa likes to stick out wide, whereas it feels like Rafinha is more prone to drifting in and creating stuff from centrally. There was one really nice bit in the middle as well. I think it was him and Phillips did some really nice interplay in the centre circle and stuff. And I just feel like he's more likely to get involved in that kind of stuff than either probably Costa or Harrison, who are our standard wingers. So if he maybe offers a bit more there, I think he'll be starting more games.
Possibly less likely to defend. Mm. Didn't feel he's got kind of the Costa work rate, certainly not the Jackie work rate going back the other way, which may be a problem, but
no one's got Jackie's work rate.
No, he can at least aspire to defending as much as Helder Costa, and I think he'll have to if he wants to stay in the team. It'll become just like, that's the fact. You will have to chase back. So he'll probably end up doing that more. And yeah, he did. I think it's obviously down to the red card and us and Arsenal being going back into their shell. But it was easier for him in the first half when there was all that space. And we looked. I think that's one of the things, and maybe the regret as well. If that bloody Pepe hadn't been so stupid as to get himself sent off, we'd probably win 3-0.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's talk about some of the specific chances then and the stuff that caught your eye. Lots to go at, 24 chances. Which ones should we draw attention to? Woodwork? What happened?
Well, there were two almost identical ones once Rodrigo was on the pitch. One went just over the bar. One went straight at the bar. They were annoying. Mm. I felt like after... He just needed that third chance to do the same thing, didn't he? And he was just finding his sighter, and then he had got a little bit closer. They were good shots as opposed to good chances, I guess, because of where he carved it out from. I feel like Click had a couple of decent chances where it just fell to him, and he was...
That cutback in the first half in particular when it was on his left.
Yeah, and he was a little bit off balance. It was on his wrong foot. And then there was one in the second half as well which felt a little bit similar in that it had maybe come to him with not quite enough time to... think about it. So I just feel like on another day we had enough to have definitely won that game. I feel like we probably have won games with like 3-0 against Villa. We probably had fewer chances than this. They just went in.
Yeah, there was the Rafinha one at the end where he was kind of off balance and hit the post. And again, there's none of them where you'd say, oh, that was really ridiculous. Maybe Rafinha's in the first half where he put it on the south stand roof. That was fairly ridiculous. And Bambino had the chance when, in the first half, when he sort of jabbed that volley, it was the one where he was offside and he kind of poked it into the keeper and you kind of think, well, because it was Gianni, Alioski was probably offside before he crossed it, and then finish wasn't quite there, and then absolutely nothing wrong with the header that hit the post from him. It did hit the post, wasn't it? It wasn't the same.
Bamford, was it? Yeah, I think so.
And nothing wrong with his header from our perspective. I would wonder about Rob Holding's style of marking, which appeared to be to just walk away from him, leave him to head it.
Dodged a bullet there because we were rumoured to be after him in the summer at one stage, weren't we? As the replacement Ben White. What did you think of the replacement Ben White today? Because there was a point in that game that I don't know where it came from, just off the cuff remark to you. I wish we'd got Ben White. And that wasn't a comment on Robin Koch. Well, maybe it was subliminally. I don't know. What do you think? Because he was a little bit wayward with some of his passing today.
He's been ruined by Joachim Löw, essentially. That's what's happened. It was quite a traumatic international break when we recorded the podcast this week, or at least we recorded the podcast last week. You clearly had better things to do.
Which we'll explain on the main podcast this week, yes.
He hadn't yet suffered his 6-0 reverse. He had played a game in midfield for Germany and been all right, but when I looked at the highlights from that, he was kind of attacking around there. The opposition's penalty area, I think it was Ukraine, which maybe explains why he was in the second half so up for really bad crosses into the penalty area. And then the 6-0, he started in defence, ended in midfield. And it's a little bit like we see him more visibly when Gareth Southgate basically, you know, fills Calvin Phillips' head with nonsense and he comes back and he's a shadow of the player he is for Bielsa. So I'm blaming anything that was wrong with Robin Koch's performance tonight. And it wasn't, I don't think it was his best, whether it was kind of, he didn't have enough to do in the second half and was caught out a couple of times. But I'm blaming it all on Franz Beckenbauer specifically.
Was he refereeing again tonight?
Just his responsibility for German football in general.
Koch on a number of occasions was further forward than Phillips, which didn't alarm me. It just made me raise an eyebrow going, oh, Koch's further forward than Phillips. Speaking about his centre-half partner, are you at all slightly, just a tiny bit concerned about Liam Cooper?
I feel Scotland have ruined... Carried on.
I thought both central defenders weren't brilliant today. But Cooper looked like he was having one of those slightly mad games that he had in the Championship. There was a bit where we all actually laughed because it looked like he was trying to fly at one point. He came running from so deep. Like he was not even in shot as the high ball was coming forward. I think it must have been a goal kick or something. And then all of a sudden he appeared running as fast as any man can run to head a ball.
He was at sort of ET bike height, wasn't he?
The air traffic control at Yeadon Aerodrome, getting a bit worried, but yeah.
And there was another one where he chased, it was Xhaka, I think, was facing away from goal, moving away from goal, and being Granit Xhaka, so not about to do anything good. And Cooper just charged out of defence and clattered him. And then there was the one he actually got booked for late on as well. And it just all felt like it was a game that was getting away from him a little bit in the way that we didn't see it much last year, did we? I'm trying to think of any games where he must have had some bad games, which is allowable.
He was fine last year, really. And, you know, he's all right today. It was, it's a funny thing to complain about after a clean sheet, but the stat about our expected goals against this season being over 2 last season was about 0.7, being used as an indicator that we're not as good defensively as we were. But we signed Diego Llorente for not presumably just as a friend for Adam Forshaw in the doctor's room, but to play at some point. So it'll be interesting to see him play. Could make us better. It's one of the things where if Llorente wasn't injured, like the solution is right there. If we feel we have a problem, we just play somebody else. But because he's moaning around with his hurt groin, we need to wait for him to sort that out before we can even try it. But there is a different option there if we feel like Liam Cooper is still suffering.
I feel like Cooper's earned his shot as well.
Exactly.
It's going to take him time, isn't it, to adjust.
And there's the and Koch as well, coming from the Bundesliga. He'll have played against the likes of Erling Haaland and Lewandowski there, but I feel there's a level of intensity that's maybe different in the Premier League, just a different style of football that he's got to get used to playing. And he is only a young man himself, same age as Ben White, essentially. And we got Ben White loads of slack, but just covered him. You know, all the mistakes Ben White made, nobody gave a toss, did they? So that will happen. And it's not like we don't have another defender there. And yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Alioski as well. You know, I was one of the first to say after the Manchester City game when he came on and wasn't very good as a winger, like, well, we probably won't see much of him this season. And yet here he is starting games and you can't really say, and getting players sent off. And even though that eventually cost us the win, so we can probably blame Alioski for us not getting 3 points today, you can't really say that Alioski looked out of his depth or wasn't a good player today. or in any of the other games that he's played, he looks absolutely fine.
The point we've made about Cooper there, you could probably apply it to any number of them who just not saying they weren't good, I'm just saying they weren't quite optimal. I mean, thinking maybe Click just had those odd moments, and Jackie Haradona just couldn't quite, you know, get himself into the game in the way that he wanted. Calvin had a couple of like sloppy tackles. You know, just there was just that sort of little fractious elements to how we played.
Bamford had a bit of a weird game as well, in that he didn't feel as involved. Maybe it's because they were defending quite deep by then, but it feels like he normally runs people a lot more. And as it was, he didn't have an awful lot of the ball, but then he did have a couple of half decent chances, which he did all right with. Like I said, we need to give Leno some credit actually, because that was a good save in the first half, and then he saved a really good one from Dallas as well in the second, where he was running onto a ball just on the edge of the box. So if the Bamford one in the first half, if he hits it, there's a fair chance it kind of goes in. If he hits it off his kind of off the edge of his foot and he scuffs into a corner, or it bounces under the goalkeeper or something, but he's just. It was one of those things. I thought Bamford was all right today as well.
It reminded me of the Championship games where it was so compact because they had the two lines of four or whatever on the edge of their area, didn't they? So we had a lot to try and get through.
And they weren't long ago. I think there was a... Jonathan Wilson in Guardian previewed this game essentially by talking about how Bielsa is not going to change, you know, any other team that had just come up from the Championship and got beat 4-1 in two consecutive games would probably go, right, we need... tight at the back, you know, calm things down, don't be so clear. Not Bielsa, he'll carry on, but reminded everybody reading that and people listening to this now perhaps that, as Michael said right at the start, if we don't get relegated, it's a good result this season. So the peaks and troughs and bumps and bruises along the way, we will at times look more like a Championship team than a Premier League team, because it's a Championship team getting used to a higher level in every game and coming up against problems that were not problems in the Championship. And Bielsa was saying that this week when he did that long breakdown of all the different goal types that we've conceded. And he was saying that we had a problem in the Championship with long balls to the edge of our area.
Flick-ons and stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a problem. That doesn't really happen in the Premier League. So we're getting used to, you know, having drilled them for 2 years on how to deal with one thing. Now it's drilling them into getting used to something different.
And the thing there is as well that our style of play, it does at least have, well, it might be take a bit of time to get used to it, and maybe over time we do need to build the squad and get some better players to be able to do it effectively. It is a style of play that at least has aspirations of being something better than the Championship and just staying in this league. You get the feeling when we lose games and you listen to Talk Sport or whatever, that they'd rather we just went about it in a really crap way. Just they'd be better off losing games in a solid 2-0 sort of a way.
Do a Steve Bruce defeat.
Exactly. Just happy to concede every single statistic, have less possession, less passes, less shots, less corners. Just be worse at everything.
Instead, we're doing God's work.
But instead, we are trying to play well. And we're trying to play well against... We're trying to actually win every game, which is something that a lot of promoted teams don't do. They just go, well... You know, Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, we'll just write those ones off. We'll concentrate on trying to just beat West Brom.
Grind a point out of Fulham.
And if we take it to one of our other managerial gods, Howard Wilkinson, he would tell you that, I mean, what was the statistic about the first half? That no team in the Premier League this season has had more goal attempts in the first half of any game than us. That's good. And then we ended up, didn't we have something like 24 chances?
Might have been 25 in the end, I'm reading.
And then it's, and then, you know, you talk about whether the ones that hit the woodwork are on target or off target. If you make that many chances in a first half of every game, and if you end every game with 25 goal attempts, good ones as well, because, you know, the XG ended up being 2.19 to 0.74. You will score goals. They'll end up going in just purely for the law of averages. And that's kind of, you know, that's painted as the magic of XG that it's supposed to be. It tells you what your average should be, and it will tend back towards that at some point. Howard Wilkinson was saying that years ago. He's basically like saying that, yeah, if you have 10 shots, if you don't score a goal in that game, well, if you have 10 shots in the next one, you'll score. And that's all we need to do. Keep going. So it's fine.
Getting the first comments from the journalists who are in the post-match press conference from Bielsa saying that, which I like, Bielsa saying Leeds dominated for an hour, and then there's the red card or whatever, and dominated even more for the next half hour. Game we should have won, and Arteta's credited Leeds saying they had their chances to score, and he's absolutely right.
Arteta's kind of getting away with it, isn't he, at the moment?
Mm.
Because he's young and has a nice thick head of black hair, I feel like, and he's an ex-Arsenal player, and he's worked with Pep. People are kind of, they're willing to give him a chance, but it's not working, is it?
It's the same thing. Him and Solskjaer and Lampard are all peas from a pod, really, when you think about how they've got the jobs that they've got, albeit via slightly different routes into it. They are all of an ilk, aren't they, in that regard, that they're famous sons of the club kind of thing, and they've got to give them time almost from a political point of view.
They know the club.
Yeah.
And I mean, Arteta's an Everton player. I still can't get my head around him, his kind of time at Arsenal. I know I'm wrong, but I just feel mentally as if he was at Everton for years, and then he went to play for Arsenal when he was about 35, did 6 months, and then he was at City. So I don't understand where this kind of, where does he even know the club? Has he been? Was, like, when he took over as manager, was it his first visit to the Emirates? I don't know. I've yet to see any evidence otherwise. But yeah, I mean, sometimes people mock Bielsa for his trophyless career, but maybe putting in 30 years of work trying to do something prepares you for doing a better job than just, you know, sitting around agreeing with Pep Guardiola.
So then we'll wrap it up now with heroes and villains, your preliminary ones for this game. Who's done good and who's done bad across that that 90 minutes?
Just to take it off the pitch, the advertising boards I enjoyed, they were old-fashioned. I noticed one for sheet metal and one for, like, was it agricultural engines or something?
Industrial gearboxes that caught your eye. No domestic gearboxes. If you're turning up in a little hatchback, no.
In a week when we've done a deal with sort of a fancy entertainment company, though, it felt good to see something like that around the pitch.
Mm. Yeah, scrapyard vibes. That's what you're after, isn't it? Yeah. Asbestos. Build those advertising boards out of asbestos. Put more in. Put it back in the West End roof.
My hero, Melier.
Yep, I was going to mention
that. Got to big up the goalkeeper. That save. Come on. So good.
And also, they were trying to upset him on every corner as well.
Not what it would.
Doesn't give a shit, does he?
It's not, unless it's Martin Keown in your face, how upsetting is an Arsenal player going to be? I mean, you saw Pepe's best attempt. He couldn't even upset Gianni Alioski.
Kiko would have been upset, though, wouldn't he? He used to get involved in it with people got in front of him, whereas Melier kind of just, I'm just going to focus on my job.
Yeah, flappable versus unflappable.
I feel like it's unfair, possibly, to constantly always wonder what would Kiko have done.
What would Bailey Peacock Farrell
have done? But watching the way Melier stopped that chance, that one-on-one, and trying to imagine, well, even, you know, David De Gea, he's shit as well, isn't he? So it's really lucky that we've got the only good goalkeeper that there is.
Good, it is good. Any villains then, before we go? Pepe for his violent act.
Oh, disgrace. The children watching that. Awful. Was it Anthony Taylor, the referee?
Yes.
For not allowing that corner to be taken in the last minute.
It's a right horrible little move, that, wasn't it?
Yeah. Don't let it be taken.
It was a dick move, wasn't it?
Why make him go all the way over to the corner with the ball if you're just going to blow up? Just have some common sense.
Oh, there's still 1.5 seconds left on my very accurate watch. Oh, no, that's it now. Pathetic.
We should have a VAR review of his watch. It should be beamed up onto the screen. I would also, the whole sending off thing, I don't know why it annoyed me so much, but the fact that he went to have a look at the red card. Who was telling him, you need to see this? Just tell him to send him off. It's simple. If you're at Stockley Park and he needs someone to say, right, Pepe, he headbutted Gianni Alioski, send him off. Oh, should I go and have a look? No. Just take out, maybe I should have a look at the... No. Red card. Show him the red card. Where are you going? Get away from that screen. It's just, it's so obvious. I mean, I don't know if Anthony Taylor has trust issues. Who was the VAR referee? He's like, oh, he's done me dirty before. Maybe there's nothing in this. But you didn't need to look. Maybe he just, you know, gets off on that kind of thing. Maybe he's got a collection. He goes home at night and just watches all these DVDs of men headbutting each other. The kind of thing he likes. He didn't want to miss this one.
That's niche, isn't it? Well, we'll return with proper heroes and villains and a real dive into it on the podcast, which we will record on Tuesday morning. I dare say we will be bringing you the thoughts of Arsenal Fan TV. Should be a hoot, shouldn't it, that one? Thanks for listening to this one. We'll catch up with you then. See you in a bit. Bye-bye.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.